We are still talking about the electric fence. Yes. I've got an electric fence at home. And in my study, that's where the box is for the electric fence. It goes like this. And so every now and then, when I want to work, I put my electric fence off. And then I sometimes forget to put it on again. I thought that's a good one for us to remember for tonight, because as you're going to discover, you all of us here, we have an electric fence. Spiritually, it's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And sometimes we can put the thing off, all right? And it gets us into trouble. Then thieves gets over and get into our house, like they did last December. Now, honey, we were on holiday, and Niels was also out of town. The thieves knew that, so they took a chance and they came to my house. And then they got honey. It's just as bad. And they didn't take anything. Can you believe it? They just packed everything in our house in a different order, which we didn't like. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I'm just going to have four slides on last week, just quickly recapping. Christ calls us to follow him. You are here. Even if you're here tonight for the first time, or if you're a member, every time you get here, it's because the Holy Spirit leads you here. You don't get to church just by yourself. Doesn't work like that, all right? And so Christ said, follow me. And here's the key. And we said it last week as well. Love changes you. Did you know that? Love changes who you are. It's just how it works. If you are in between people that love you, you will change. And often we say, yeah, many try change. He lost my sisters. Wees lief vir my net soos ek is. Okay, so there's just one thing that we must know. You should never try and be another human, change in that way. But if you're going to follow Christ, you will be changing. It's called growth. Okay, and you need to grow and I need to grow. So real love causes us to grow. And when Christ says, follow me, know that you're up for the challenge. Okay? You must grow and he will help you. And then he wants to enter every area of your life and change it. He wants to change your marriage to be more like him. He wants to change your friendships. He wants to change the way you engage with your family. He wants to enter the area of your finances, the area of your business, the area of your sport, whatever you pursue. He wants to enter into that area as you follow. And does that make sense? And that's where we find ourselves at this moment. This was on the screen last week. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then it says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't change to be just like everyone else. Do you want a marriage just like everyone else? Do nothing and conform to this world. Do life the way this world does life. Just do it like that. Make everything, every aim at like every natural guy, everything that's his goal, make it your goal. Make it your goal to drive an expensive car. Make it your goal to, I don't know, just have great holidays. Make it your goal just to always have a great time, just like everyone else. And you will have marriage like everyone else. We call that to be conformed. Just be the same. But Paul writes to disciples and says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You must change, right? That's what it says. By the renewal of your mind. When you meet God, even if you're here for the first time tonight, I don't know all of you guys, let me just say something. Some people say when you meet Christ, everything is just, they lied, okay? When you meet Christ, you're going to work. You're going to work on your faith. You're going to make hard decisions. You're going to pray. You're going to cry. You're going to gain friends. You're going to lose friends. You're going to be popular with God's people coming to help you. You're going to be very unpopular in certain circles. It's hard. So make sure when you choose Christ that you really want to choose him. Right? And so then Paul writes to believers, to guys, and says, hey, I want to follow Christ. I sign up for that. And he says, you guys, you don't conform. You are different. No, but everyone does it this way, but not us. Because we don't want to live just like everyone. We want to live with heaven in our homes. We want the rules of the kingdom of God to be sown into our lives and bear fruit. We don't just want to be like everyone else. Right? The bar is so low. So be transformed, change. What I just want to say on this slide before I start with tonight is there's certain things, and it's always been like this and will always stay like this, but let us grow and be aware. There's a thing that goes around that it's publicly accepted. If you feel it, it is right. That's wrong, all right? Yeah, but I've always thought about it that way. That is not an indication of truth. Okay? Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Which means if you've got a wrong way of thinking, you're just going to make that permanent. So using that as your true north is very stupid. All right? You need to go to a source of an authority which is higher than my parents, higher than the principal of the school, higher than what I've experienced in the past. I need to say, where can I align myself? What must I use to measure myself to so that I can transform myself to be better? And that is God's word and the Holy Spirit speaking to us. So a good thing to say to yourself every day of your life is, if God shows me something in my life, and maybe I haven't seen it because it wasn't on God's agenda in the first 5 years when I knew Him. You know, God works with us at different things at different times, okay? For example, it's not great to start reading the Bible your first time in Revelation. So that just doesn't make sense. It speaks about the end. Try and be a bit more in the beginning, all right? Now, in the same way, the disciple grows in different things first. It's a bit like helping your dad in the garage. If he gives you the Swiss machine on the first time, we're going to have trouble, or the grinder or something. You're going to have like one finger left or something. But you know, if he gives you some sellotape and you like stick some stuff to the wall, mess up his garage a bit, then you can take it off afterwards and you feel like you've accomplished something. And next time you want to go and help again and you grow. And next time it's a screwdriver or whatever. That's more or less my level, screwdriver. Praise God, we're all different. I'm also being transformed in my school set. I did put a ceiling up, so in your face. I'm just having fun with you. Regis helped me. Regis, how was that ceiling? Good, huh? That was a great ceiling. It's about 2 by 2 meters, though. Any case, back to this sermon, yeah. Just because you've always done something a certain way doesn't mean it's the right thing. Just because everyone else thinks a certain way, who are you going to use as a measure? So we look unto Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so the cool thing about being in a church that loves to see Jesus magnified and see people come to Christ and grow is you often hear the same things over and over. You know why? Because it's the important things. And so a smart guy says, Tim Keller is his name, he says, it's not about coming here and teaching you guys new weird stuff here in the front. If you want weird stuff, go to YouTube, okay? But it's not going to help you. If you want to grow as a believer, you need to take the same specs that God's give you. What is that? That's the cross of Christ, His forgiveness, the road of discipleship, renewing your mind, growing in your gifts. It's only so much, and then you look through it deeper as you grow. You don't go on past Christ to more weird things. You look deeper. You become more aware of your sin and how you change. You become more aware of how amazing Jesus is. You look deeper and deeper through the same, almost say, amazing truths. The cross never gets old. And so, for example, this morning, God challenged me about, I read something in Scripture. I'm going to get to it later again. And I thought, you know what? I read over this, I must say, probably about 100 times already. And the Holy Spirit tells me, stop and look. Okay? Not just at the word, but look inwardly, because you must grow. I'm like, but I've got this down. No, stop and look. Look deeper through this. Okay? And so we always change. When we look at Christ, we change. If we look at other weird stuff, we just become weird. All right? Bible says we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. And we look at Him with all our heart. And He opens our eyes more and more. Does that make sense? Great. But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. So, you had this unlost. You have the mind of Christ. You've got a new mind. You don't get born with this. When you get born again, when you come to Christ, He teaches you things. And Paul even calls us as having the mind of Christ. That's an amazing, amazing thing, the mind of Christ in me. I bet it's only in my mind like about this big, and I want it to grow. I want to think like Christ. I want to act like Him. I want to talk like Him. I want to sound like Him. I want to love like Him. But I've only grown this much. But I have His mind. It's there to see. So if I water it, and if I read His word, and if I pray, and if I worship with all my heart, man, the mind of Christ in me can grow. Right? That's where we are. Okay, so the electric fence. We said last week, every believer has an electric fence. All right? You don't literally, okay, have an electric fence around your head. Okay, Sekunda's got static electricity. When I touch my son every now and then, I literally shock. But now, this is talking about the voice of the Holy Spirit. Come jump on my trampoline and touch my son, okay? You will shock. It's a weird thing. But every believer, figuratively speaking, has an electric fence. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's the counselor of God being with you. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. He's the one who walks with us. It's what Scripture tries to explain to us. He's there with you, walking. As you make your way through life, through making decisions, going to work, going to gym, getting in your car, going to a friend, He's there. He walks with you. He never stays at home when you go. Okay? It's like an electric fence. It's there to help you, to warn you, to motivate you when there is something wrong, and also help you in the right way. Every believer has an electric fence to help us discern when a thought or when an idea or a fear or a plan is not from God. Hey, this is not from God. Don't go there. That's your electric fence. Who's heard that before? Who's heard that something in your heart just helping you, nudging you in a direction? And I asked this question last week. And this will be my last reference back to last week. But I want to get us on the same page. I asked this thing. Maybe at the moment you are not at a great place. Maybe you are at a good place. Maybe God has helped you a lot with healing and restoring you. He's the restorer of the brokenhearted. He's very good at doing that. And we allow Him in this church to do that. That's why we've got busy months like November to help you grow. It's just amazing. Maybe you can think just back to a place where you just wish I never go through that again. Can you think of something, everyone? Can you think of something? I wish I never go through that again. Just give me a hand. See if my audience is alive. Okay, awesome. Now, here's my question. Is it possible that before you got into that situation or with that person or in that place that you wish you never went to or got to, or that you never lied to that person or broke that person's trust, is it possible that just before this whole thing happened, that there was maybe a voice of reason in your heart? That there was maybe something saying, this is bad. And the voice was gentle. It was clear, but it wasn't pushing you. It was drawing you. Rather come this way. But it's so gentle, and sometimes it's so easy to put the fence off. Is it possible that if you listen to that voice back then, that maybe you could spare yourself some tears? And maybe someone else. Maybe your family. Alright? And now what I don't want you to do is to feel sad for the rest of the week for what happened in your past. God restores us. But this is what it means to come of age, to grow. God, not again. Help me. I want to put up an electric fence. And I want to learn to obey You, the voice of my shepherd that says, come and follow Me. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, the voice of my sheep, or my sheep hears my voice. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is the shepherd. He says, my sheep hears Me. Sometimes I don't listen, but I hear Him. Even in my life daily, I hear Him speaking softly. And so the whole purpose of what we're doing here tonight and last week and the week before that is to, in our hearts, maybe awaken ourselves to be a bit more aware of God speaking to us daily. Sometimes softly, sometimes loud, sometimes clearly. Amen? The electric fence. Right, let's go. This is our scripture for tonight. James 1 verse 14 and 15. And that's it. We're going to camp on this. And I want to show you, and some of you will recognize this step by step. I want to take you through a few steps. And it's almost like every step is a step closer to you really being hurt. With the first impulse of the fence being way out, far away from you. You can't get hurt there. If you listen right there, you'll be okay. Even if that thought came or that plan came or that opportunity came, if it's out there and you say, no, it will never hurt you. Okay, that's what it means. That's what it means to follow the voice of God. Okay? To change direction. To say no. Each person, say each person, this act. Some of us, okay? Each of us is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Now, just for one moment before I go on. We are not here to talk about sin and to tell you what a sinner you are. You are one. Okay, I am one. Let's just get over that part. We are here to follow Christ. So we talk about sin in the light of following after our Savior. Why? You know what sin means? Literally, it means to miss God. It means to miss the mark. It doesn't mean that you are about to be killed by a lightning bolt. It means you are missing it at this moment. It will be almost like someone kicking at posts and missing it. Like these guys on the video clip. Thanks, Regis, for that. To miss the mark, okay? That's what it means to sin. Now, if I miss the mark the whole time, I'm never going to get on my journey where I want to get, okay? If I really want to go that way, but I keep on walking this way, I can never be there. Never mind how many times you say, but God is good. Yes, God is good. That's why he's speaking to you. But if you walk this way, it doesn't matter how good he is, you won't end up there. That's it, okay? Doesn't matter how many times I say, with many judging you, okay? When you hear his voice, if you do the opposite, you are not going to get where you want to be. And that's where we are tonight, because I know God has got great plans for you. Amen? So let's do this. The first thing the enemy does, point number one, is he lures you. Lure you. Like a fish, we said last week. Okay? Now, what's very interesting about this is, if you lure someone, if you show them the destination at the end, right, they won't come because they say, oh, it's a trap. But if you can get them to give one step, you have lured them. Okay? Like, millibom, boys. Sal daar oor gepraat. Come on, girls. Kom bietjie by. A millibom is wat die karp belok, né? So the guys, apparently they sit there for days, sometimes a month. Is that true? They sit there for months and they drop millibomber that like is very smelly for fish at the same place for like weeks, and then all the fish gets closer and closer, and then you drop your line there and you catch a big fish and you call yourself smart. Okay. You say, oh, I just put my line in the water and I caught this fish. You've been busy for months. Okay. But in any case, the fish needs to be lured close, especially the big ones. One step closer. And so what the enemy does is he hides the big picture from you to help you take one step. And I want to jump into that, but that's why we spoke so much about friendships. Because you know what? Your friends normally see the first step. They always see your first step in the wrong direction because they're not so emotionally attached to this thing happening in your life. And so that's why we say if we live an open life with one another, we're in a good place. Because if someone can see you taking the first step in the wrong direction, something getting over your fence, they can say, listen, I'm not sure, but can we talk through this? One step, all right? To take you one step closer to missing it. That's easy enough. We go back to that scripture. So, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Okay? You're going very simply through the scripture. It's loaded. Own. So point number two is he uses your own desires. That means that at the end of the day, when you find yourself in a place where you're very sorry you're at, it started with something that was in you. All right? And here's the key that's very important, is sometimes the desires was not bad to start off with. And that's where we get mixed up. Is it bad to care for someone, take them to dinner, and greet them with a hug at their door? Is that a bad thing? No, it's bad. But what if that person is another person's wife? Now, at this stage, you haven't slept with her, you haven't kissed her. It was just lunch. It's just lunch. Is lunch sin? Is it a sin to eat food? Is it a sin to pick someone up in your car and to drop them off? Is it a sin, huh? Don't judge me. That's how we talk. It's how we think. We're so stupid. And so we take a step in the wrong direction. Is it a good idea to be alone at a home when there's no one there? No, it's not a sin to watch a movie. Yeah, it's not a sin, but it's stupid. Because you're taking one step to a place where you don't want to end up. And when your friend comes to talk to you, you're going to be so mad at him. Oh, you're not going to talk to him for a few days until God shows you he actually loves you a lot. Now, is it wrong to have a desire to marry, for example? No, but do you see how it can be used? Just because something starts right doesn't mean the journey is the right way. And so we want to follow after Christ with our desires. And so that can be applied to money. Listen, is it a bad thing to have money? No, it's a good thing. Because you know what? With money, you can feed so many people. You can take the gospel. At the moment, we're trying to put bread on the tables of pastors in Nepal. It lives in the mountains. You can't get there except walking a lot of kilometers because you can't fly. They can't land these mountains. You maybe get there with a chopper, but we'll find a hard place to land because it's like this. And we're trying to put food on those people's tables. Someone that writes a check for 1 billion rand, that's welcome. Because we can feed God's people. It's wrong to want to be industrious and make profit. And that's a good thing. But hasn't that desire led so many people away from God? Are you with me? So sometimes this desire that he lures you with is not even a bad desire. It's just terrible execution. All right? So I actually want you at some stage to pray. Say, God, I have good desires in my heart. Because if you really think about the stuff you desire, it's not bad stuff. You guys have good desires. The question is just, do we take it into our own hands? Do we trust God with this? Only thing. We say so easily. I'm knocking us a lot, our Afrikaans people. I'm sorry, guys. I'm Afrikaans. I may do it. We say all that. My ken hy persoon se hart. Ja, does their heart is good, maar hulle verstand is stupid. Okay? Because God wants to help that good heart to a place where that good heart accomplishes amazing things. But now I take my good heart and I just take it to waste my life. Can you start drawing those lines? God, my desires is good. Now help me. My desires is good. I want to trust you with it. Wherever I want to go in my life, whatever that desire is, Lord, I entrust that full desire to you. You know how many, can I tell you guys a story? You all know who Katy Perry is. Do you know what her real name is? Her name is Katie Hudson. And she used to be a worship leader in a church. And she brought out an album, a worship album, that sold a full amount of 200 copies. And it was a good album. I should listen to it. I think you can find it on YouTube. Great talent, a desire to sing. So she brings out her first CD. She sells 200 copies. Someone approaches her. There's a burning desire and says, "We want to pave the way for you." She gives one step. And it's songs about, "You're a firework, you're amazing." Great. 5 steps later, have you listened to those things? Was the desire bad? No, it was amazing. It was great. It was placed there by God to glorify God. And the enemy came this. He came, he lured her and offered a few steps to quicken the desire. Does that make sense? Locate the desires in your hearts. Think about it a bit. Ask yourself, what am I heart burning for? And are you willing to trust God? But let me tell you now, it's going to be the long road. You need to know it right now. It's the long road, but it's the rewarding road. It's the house where you build on the rock, stone on stone. Your hands will be broken. You will be tired working with these stones, but you'll build strong. Or you can go build a sandcastle. Boom, gone. And the enemy offers you sandcastle. But it's a bit like a McDonald's burger picture. It looks huge. Okay. And then you buy snacks. Is this a Big Mac? This is more like medium Mac or little Mac, but this is everything but big. But that's what the enemy does. He gives you a glimpse. You can have that. She can come over and you can put on the candles. It's going to be amazing. Big Mac. Disappointing. It's always will be the long road when you follow God. Okay? Which is a paradox, I just said, because at the end it's the short road. Okay? Because when the storm has passed, your house stands. Another person must start building again. And then they must decide again. And then after we go to the next beach. That person was just wrong for me. Okay? And then we build the same house with sand or whatever. It's business opportunity upon business. And we're just not inviting God. But now, are you with me? Everyone with me? Awesome. I just want to say one thing with this that's going to help you. I don't know why I'm stating these things so negatively tonight, but here it is. This is going to help you mess it up, okay? If you really want to mess it up, is to make these decisions when you're unsure of who you are in Christ. That's the worst place you can be set up for. If you are not sure who God made you to be, the enemy loves to come with offers to tell you who you are. And then it's interesting. Who you are has always got something to do with how you look or what you put on or what you get yourself around with. It's amazing. It's the same stuff, guys. It's over and over and over. If you get this bucky, you'll be this person with this bucky. Everyone will know. And there you go. You get yourself in trouble. So a very good thing for you. If you're new around here, say, God, build me strong in you from day one. I want to know who I am. Because you know who you are? You are predestined to look like Jesus. You are built to be strong like a house on a rock. Yes, you are different from everyone else, but that's who He made you to be. And so if you become comfortable with who you are in Christ, it will be so hard for the enemy to sell you a lie. Amen. In the kingdom, all right, of God, I'm going to use a rugby analogy tonight. I'm allowed to do that. Okay. In the kingdom, you play for the Springboks. Okay. But sometimes we don't know it. And North Korea comes by with a rugby team and say, yes, you should play for this team. And we take that spot. That's what we do with our lives. I don't know if North Korea even has one rugby ball in the whole country, but that's the thing. You are so set up for greatness in Christ if you will just trust Him and follow Him. But if you're unsure about this man He's made you to be, or this woman you made you to be, this wonderful person, if you don't find that, the enemy's going to offer you an identity. And it's going to offer it at no cost in the beginning. It's going to cost you later. It's going to lure you with something that's in you. All right? So here's a few prayers that if you... It's almost stating the same thing over and over. If you want to write some of it down, what? This is good to pray every day over your life. Declare it. Guys, I've been a pastor now for about 6 years, and there's days when the enemy knocks me off balance. I want to be open with you guys. I want to be vulnerable with you, because I'm not Superman or Super Varys. I often need to find my place in Christ over and over, and these are prayers I have to pray. Father, my greatest desire is to become like my King. My greatest desire is to see Jesus fully formed in me. Where can we form now in my life? Where can we work? Which area do you need to enter now, Lord? Father, every desire in my life I place at your feet. You put it in me the first time. I'm going to give it back to you. Okay? If I'm not ready, Lord, just figuratively speaking, to use a chainsaw, but please lead me not to put it in my hands and cut someone's ankles off or something. Just help me, Lord. I trust you with the step and the pacing of my life. Jesus, you are my desire. These are good prayers. This is mature things to pray over you. If you're in a difficult situation, you pray these things into your life and you draw strength from it. I'm telling you now, you're a mature believer because you've learned to look beyond the storm and draw into your life what is needed. Okay? Practice it. Especially when it's going good with you, because when it's going tough, it's going to be hard to hear God's voice. You're going to have to be ready. Make sense? Awesome. We're going back to that scripture, doing it over and over. But each person is tempted and he is lured, and enticed by his own desire. Okay? Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. We said this a few times the last few weeks. Number three, when I accept the temptation, it becomes mine. There will be an electric shock that goes off. There's going to be a voice. There's going to be a leading. Sometimes you're not going to feel it. It's going to be a friend that will speak to you. This is not looking great. I'm not sure you should do that with your finances. I think you're going to put you and your wife under pressure. Oh, I don't think that girl's the one for you. I see what happens then. And you're turning into another person. Can we pray? Sometimes it will be a friend. Sometimes it will be your heart. Sometimes it will be scripture. Sometimes it will be very obvious. Sometimes it will be a very smart move from you. It's going to be such a slight temptation. But here's the thing. When the thought comes to you to do a terrible thing, all right, or just take the first step, which is not so terrible at first. It's not your thought. That's not the plan that God has for you. That's the plan that our enemy has for you. And so when the thought comes at you, the electric fence goes off. And if you keep that thing on the outside and turn around, it never became yours. It never became yours. And you know what happens? You'll find that maybe for 1 or 2 days, I'm going to be open with all of you ladies. There's something called the spirit of lust that comes against us guys to think of you in ways we should not think of you. And it's a terrible thing, and the enemy uses it like little step by little step. And here's the interesting thing. It sometimes works with a specific agenda. If we talk to one another, guys would say, this week was a week of temptation. It was a week where the enemy came in, and all of us would say, wow, you as well. I had to fight this week. Spirit of lust. Sometimes it comes at times. But here's the thing. It was never my thought to start off with. But the moment I take it, it gets a certain amount of power over my life because I've just allowed it inside the fence. So my barrier for recognizing this bad thing, it's already passed. And so we get used to that first step. At first, it was okay to think about this girl in this way. And it was terrible to think of this girl in this way in the beginning. And then you get used to it because it's gone past the electric fence. And then that becomes your new standard, which is way below what God already called you to be. And then it goes to step two. And at first, maybe there's a tension again. This is not right. But when we get used to that, and it's sometimes such a slow process, other times fast, and we find ourselves in a place where we say, but this is not me. How did I find myself at this place? I found myself at this place with the first step, where an electric fence went off, the Holy Spirit spoke, and I should have said no. But then it's interesting. After that week, after that 2 days, the enemy just leaves you for a long while. Once you send him in the road, once you've, God has taught me when something comes into my mind that's not from God, something in my heart goes, and I say it out loud, that's a trap. That's a trap. Whether it's in any area of my life, I just say it loud, that's a trap. I don't care if I'm spar, okay? You're a trap. But it's interesting, after you've chased the thief away at the fence, don't come back for a while. But that's where we must be vigilant and keep our fence up because he's coming back. Okay? At one time, or at a certain time in your life, as you go on, you start to walk in victory. Nonsense. You don't even look, you don't even care. It's called victory. That's where God is leading you. you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. Greater is he that's living in me than the thief at the gate. So if I draw my strength from God, I become victorious. And so that gets you in a weird position, gets you into a place where you find yourself at work and you ask yourself, am I the only one that's not comfortable with this conversation? Am I the only one? You know what? Yes, you are. Because you've worked yourself up to a place where you don't allow everything just to be said. About people, about your boss, about women. Because you know what? That could be your wife. You've built up a fence. So yes, you are different. That's why you need this. Where we draw strength from. Does that make sense? When I accept the temptation, it becomes mine. Conception. This is wanneer a babiekie. That's the Afrikaanse woord. Bevrugting plaasvind. Something happens. It wasn't yours. It was just there. And conception happened. Now this thing is gray. Okay. That's why we need friends, guys, because this will be so, sometimes it'll be so disguised because it's my desires. It's my heart I'm talking about here. This is my plans. And now this thing comes in and almost fits. Maybe it's not 100% fit, but this is my desires. You need good friends to help you and love you in the right direction. And so we think maybe one or two or three ways to justify it. When that thing comes, we say, I can handle this. Okay? Don't give yourself that rope. I can handle this. It's only one time. All right? I deserve this. Make sure. Talk to a friend. Listen, be teachable. Put your heart on the table. Listen, buddy, I think I deserve this. I think this is from God. What do you think? And here's an interesting thing, because I'm taking it a lot from one place to now, but I want to just switch around. This can also be something like this. Someone comes and sins against you. Right? And you go to bed that evening and you find yourself telling your friend, the housemate you're staying with, or your wife, you say, like a hard option. And when you say that, the Holy Spirit says, let's deal with that. Yo, but do you know what that person did to me? Now, even something that someone else did against you, and if you choose, hate is something that comes of your fence, and if you choose to harbor hate, it's going to get you. Okay? Even though someone sinned against you, God's going to lead you in how He wants the condition of your heart to be. There's no place for hate in our hearts. No place. Okay? Because if that thing grows, it's going to start hurting people around you, not that person. So ask yourself, is there hate? Is there unforgiveness in my heart? Deal with that. Deal with that. Doesn't matter what that person does. You're the one being messed up with it, all right? God even helps with that. That's renewing your mind. Make sense? Awesome. Let's go on. We had this on last week as well. I cannot accept the thought about me that God doesn't have towards me. It's easy as that. Let's just put another spin on this. Maybe you believe you are really not worth anything for God's kingdom because your dad walked away when you were 3 years old, your mom left you guys. So you've got this thing in your heart that you're not worth much. You know that's a temptation. There's a temptation for you to believe the lies of your life that the enemy has set you up to step in. And so if you believe that, you're the victim here, right? If you take it and you make it your own, it's going to take away from who you can be. So you need to say, yes, my dad left me, but my king came for me. I'm worth it. He loves me. Yes, my mom wasn't always there. Look at the friends I have now. God just organized 100 friends for me to love me and celebrate my life. God is good. You need to get into victory. Amen? Covering a lot of things. We don't have time for everything. I'm just dropping a few things. And you can chat with your small group leader if you want to. And so desire, when it has conceived, it gives birth to sin. It So what happens, point number four, is after conception, birth comes. Alright? At first it was only a thought, it was only a feeling, an emotion which you can deal with. As you made it your own, you took it onto your, you took it on board, right? At some stage in this journey, what was a thought, what was a desire, what was only maybe one step in the unseen, it's going to start to become evident in your life. What this means is somewhere along the way of buying into this temptation, you're going to start feeling the effects of it. All right? Even if no one else knows about it, you're going to say, this thing is killing me. Okay? I had that many times in my life. Who's experienced that before? No one knows about this, but I cannot carry this anymore. This needs to come out. Often that's the start of your healing. Okay? At some time, the conception is going to bring forth a baby. It's going to produce something. And the thing about this is that sometimes if you're strong and you're determined and you're especially very stubborn, you can handle that for a while. All right? But now here's the thing. If I harbor, for example, that anger, that unforgiveness, okay, in my situation, who's going to feel the effects of that? Janae and Caleb, my family, they'll be the first people. Now that person is long gone, the one whom I'm harboring the hate. I won't forgive them because they're feeling zilts. You are wasting your family. I'm doing that. Right? And so the effects are coming out slowly. And sometimes it takes 10 years before that baby gets born. And then it's havoc. Right? When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, when your fence goes off, deal with it right there and then. Trust God. Amen? And then the last thing. It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. We just see that slide. There we go. Number five. It's our last point for tonight. The band, you guys can maybe make your way up. At the end, the bomb explodes. Well, Cole, if I can just have you, that's okay. At the end, the bomb explodes. Something happens at the end. It is utter despair. I'm in tears or I am full of regret. I fall into depression. Something breaks my relationship with my father or I lose my job or something happens. And that road, which the enemy has planned for years, sometimes it takes years, sometimes it takes 1 week. But here at this stage, I get to that place where I thought I would never be. And it was one step. And there was an impulse which I ignored. I turned the fence off. And it was one step. I can handle this. And then one day I get somewhere. I'm like, wow. How did I get here? And then I start to ask questions. And sometimes to get here, that's often the place where we turn to God. My life, I got here. I'm like, how did this happen? I mean, I've got good parents. I mean, they've taught me the right stuff. Hey, I didn't do bad at school. I mean, I used to get along with the teachers and I would look at myself as a good man. How did I get here? One step without God. That's where it starts. One step. And a small next one. And this, for you tonight, maybe it means that maybe some of you have never really turned to God. Say, okay, God, all I have left. But sometimes it gets us there as believers. You love God. You've done amazing things. You've been on missions. And you just find yourself in places you wonder, how did I get here? Guys, let's put our fences up. Amen. Why? Because there's an amazing plan for your life. And I know you want to get there. I want to see you guys get there. I want to see you guys surpass me so that there's no longer a job for me here. If you want to, I'll stay. But that's my heart. I want to see you guys grow. You must think of yourself as a minister of Christ. Put the bar high and say, you know what? I cannot afford to go left and right and backwards. I'm walking. Help me walk. Amen. Let's stand up tonight.